Today on Your Money, Your Wealth podcast number 474, Jimmy in Wisconsin will have a pension, Social Security, and a seven-year retirement shortfall. How should he cover it? Skipper in Texas has some unusual pension options. Which makes the most sense for his retirement needs? Should Mike and Carol in Virginia wait to do Roth conversions if they'll be in a lower tax bracket in retirement? Where should Duncan in Texas invest in the 10 years before he retires early? Would it be stupid for Jay-Z in Minnesota to miss out on free Roth opportunities? Can Ben in San Francisco's friend use the rule of 55 on a rollover retirement plan? And finally, YMYW is fun but of limited value, according to one recent review. I'm producer Andy Last, and here are the hosts of Your Money, Your Wealth, Joe Anderson, CFP, and Big Al Clopine, CPA.
We got Jimmy from Wisconsin. Remember Jimmy from Wisconsin?
Yes, isn't that your cousin?
Yeah, this is not my cousin.
This is another one, huh? Okay.
Yeah. This is nowhere near my cousin.
Okay.
I got a spitball for Joan Al. First, I would like to thank you for his advice. From several years ago, he suggested to someone go on Roth all the time. Do you remember that?
That sounds like you.
Yeah.
Sounds like what you would say.
And that's what I live by. I remember Joe saying, you won't miss the taxes today, and you'll be so much happier in the future. From that time, I have contributed everything to my Roth 401k, done several plan conversions from traditional 401k to the Roth 401k and max out backdoor Roths. Even though I've been in very high tax brackets, 32 and 35%, I did not miss the taxes on those Roth contributions or conversions. And I'm thrilled that a Roth account is our largest account.
Wow. Cool.
3.2 million total. He's got 1.2 of that in Roth IRAs. So when you see that balance, Al, you forget about all the taxes that you paid years ago.
Yeah, because it's a good balance.
Right. You're taking a look.
You probably would have spent it anyway.
Right. So what I think people don't, you can get into all the calculations, and of course you should do that. But if you want to take the uncertainty of taxes off the table, go Roth. Because you'll never, ever pay taxes on those dollars again. Your spouse won't pay taxes. Your kids won't pay taxes. The grandkids, whatever. So if I'm looking at building a diversified portfolio, most people will take the tax deduction today, and then it grows tax deferred. And when you pull the money out, it's going to be taxed at ordinary income rates. Where do you think tax rates are going to go? Are they going to go down? Are they going to stay the same? Are they going to go up? Well, I don't know. If I'm a betting man, which I'm not, I believe that tax rates are going to go up.
And most people believe that too.
And so if I believe that, doesn't it make sense to pay a little bit of tax today and have all of that money grow tax-free? So on a contribution, it's like, should I go pre-tax or after-tax? I'll go after-tax. I'm in a fairly high tax bracket, and I go Roth 100% of my contributions.
Yeah, so you practice what you preach. Like it.
I do, because I like to take a look at that balance and say, you know what? I'm never paying tax on that.
It's done. This is all mine.
It is all mine.
Yeah.
When you look at a retirement account, IRA, 401k, that's pre-tax, it's like, all right, well,
you got
this
a partner.
This is not all mine. I got a partner. And that and your, is the IRS.
In your case, IRS and California Franchise Tax Board.
That's right. I'm moving, though.
Are you to Texas?
I don't know.
Florida.
We'll see. Not Florida. I live there.
Yeah.
All right. So he'd like to spend $165,000 a year on $3.2 million. 4% of that is $128,000, means he's going to be short about $37,000. Until I collect Social Security. So he's going to wait till 69. The wife is 67. So they're going to have around $75,000 in Social Security. That's going to cover the 37% shortfall plus future inflation when we begin collecting our benefits in 7 years. Why do you think he picked 69 and 67 versus just pushing it out to 70?
I don't know, but I pushed to 70 in this case.
I would too. So here's his question. So on that 37% shortfall, he's got a pension, Al.
Yeah.
There's no COLA. And he's looking at two options. He's got a 10-year period certain equals, let's call it $50,000. 10-year period certain, $49,428.
Right.
So that's going to cover his shortfall, $37,000, right,
yeah,
for the next 7 years. Or if he pushes his Social Security out to age 70, it's going to cover that shortfall and some.
That's right.
All right. The second is that he's got 100% joint with survivors. So the difference between the two. 10-year period certain is that he will receive this $49,428 for 10 years. So if he dies 2 years in, the heirs will still get 428. Right. After 10 years, year 11, it's zero.
Yeah, but the first 10 years are guaranteed regardless. Even if husband and wife die, it goes to beneficiaries. Yep.
So joint in survivor will be, all right, so you're married, you have a spouse. So it's going to continue to pay on both lives. So if one spouse dies, this money is going to continue to pay until the second spouse dies.
Right.
So if they both die tragically the next year, well, then it's done. If they live until 120, it's going to pay out until 120.
Correct.
So he's going to receive $18,400 for life. This means he would have to take more than his 4% out of the portfolio for 7 years. So the math he has to do is what makes more sense. So I take $50,000 for the next 10 years
sure.
and then call it good. Or do I want $20,000 for the rest of my life?
Right.
So there's a real simple way to calculate this, or you can get a little bit more advanced. Why don't you do the simple one?
Actually, I'm doing net present value. I already did it.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Well, here's the simple one.
Okay, you do the simple.
So you got $50,000, 10 years. It's $500,000.
Right.
You got $20,000. He's 60 years old.
Yeah, call it 30 years. Right.
60, 70, 80, 90. All right, so 90. So
yeah.
That's 600,000.
Right.
You take the net present value, depending on the discount rate, I think the 10 years is going to kill it.
Of course it does. Yeah, so net present value, what that means is you take your payment, you do it over 10 years, you pick your discount rate. I just did 6%, okay? So net present value of the 10-year sum certain is $364K. And the other one, over 30 years, is $253,000. So not only is it better to take the 10-year, but it's going to feel better because you're not going into your portfolio. I would take that in this case every single time.
Yeah, the math, there's no way. That I don't know how old you have to.
Well, when I went from 25 to 30 years, it almost did nothing. So we could add another 30 years. It still wouldn't pan out.
Yeah, the 10-year, no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think his numbers are wrong, to be honest with you.
It could be, because usually these are a lot closer.
They're almost identical when you do a net present value.
Right.
So what Nalin's doing is taking a look at the cash flows of that payment and just taking it back to say, how big of a nest egg do I need today, given a certain rate of return that would equal out? So one is going to be 10 years, one is going to be for life. The $18,000, if you take the net present value of those future cash flows, is $200,000 versus $350,000?
Yeah, so, exactly. So another way to say this is, what is the value in today's dollars,
yeah.
right? And the 10 years better.
Wait, I'm by a long shot.
And the reason is because if you get a payment in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, it's worth way less than today, because if you had it today, you could have 10 years of interest and growth, or 20 years or 30 years of growth. So that's where this net present value comes into play.
So, Jimmy, you got your answer. Congratulations on a wonderful, well job done. Go Roth, all Roth.
And push Social Security to 70.
Yep. Here's one from Texas. Goes Andy and the boys. I have a question, an apology for you today. First is the apology. I've been listening to the podcast for less than a year and had worked my way through all of the YMYW catalog before asking my first question.
Yeah. Well, that's not a, you don't have to listen to the last 3 years. That's a question.
Okay.
On the off chance we might have answered it.
Got it. I unknowingly commandeered. I was going to say that. I just had something in my throat. Someone else's alias when asking my question. Mea culpa. That means, oh, shoot.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. To avoid any confusion, if not taken already, you can call me Skipper. I'm a husky old guy in comfortable clothes. I'll reserve Ginger for my lovely wife and Thurston for my father-in-law. My question. He's got a pension from his former employer that came with a generous 2-to-1 match. The account balance will continue to grow at a guaranteed 7% rate until I start taking withdrawals. When I start taking withdrawals, I can take a monthly payment based on the full balance, or I can pull some money out and then take a monthly payment on the remaining balance. I'm eligible to start receiving the payments right now, but I don't need the money, so I'm letting it grow. However, if I die before start taking withdrawals or before the monthly payments dip into the company money, my heirs will only get my contributions and none of the company matching funds. For my heirs and for myself, I would love to get as much of the company money as possible while maximizing the return. As I see it, He's got some options. All right. So if I understand this, he's got an old pension.
Right.
He put in some dollars. The company matched 2-to-1.
Right.
And so once he starts taking the payments of this pension, if he dies prior to whatever, he can the heirs are not going to receive any money.
Right.
And we just talked about pension payments in an earlier question. So it could be a 10-year period certain. It could be joint with life. It could be survivor. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Sure. 5-year period certain and so on. So it sounds like this pension is that, hey, we'll pay you a certain payment for your life. But after you pass, if there's contributions left over of your money, we'll give that to the heirs. However, if it's our money, we're ceasing the payments.
Right. Contributions only, not the rest. So it's not really like a 401k, which is your own money.
Well, it's a pension.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's a match or a pension. It's like probably, well, they're matching 2-to-1. So they're just basing this on a pool of money and life expectancy of that pool for them to give a 2-to-1 match.
Yeah, I understand. I haven't seen too many pensions like this.
Never.
Have you?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying. For our listeners, this is not kind of like a typical thing.
Yeah, it's not very common. All right, so he's got some options here. So he's trying to think through this and figuring it out. So he's like, if I go for the long-term growth and then only start taking withdrawals after retiring. So he's going to max this thing out. He's going to get it as big as he can, and then he's going to take the payments when he retires.
Sure.
Or he can start taking the payments now based on the full balance, full payment, except the tax implications, and reinvest all the proceeds. Pull out some of my contributions now. Start taking payments based on the 2/3 balance, except the large tax implications, reinvest all the proceeds. All right.
Okay.
No. If I start taking payments on the full balance, it takes 44 months to burn through my contributions and start dipping into the company's matching funds. I wonder, so if the company matching funds, did those deplete?
Yeah, I'm guessing the way he writes it, the contributions come out first, maybe.
And then the company match comes out second?
Yeah, but if that were true, there'd be no taxation because it's your own money. So it seems strange to me.
Right. Okay.
Or maybe it's a blended, right? Maybe it's
pro-rata.
Pro-rata. Maybe it's, I don't know.
But if it's pre-tax, he got a tax deduction.
Right.
So then if he's getting his contributions back out, it'd still be taxable.
Well, yeah, actually, you're right. I mean, I was thinking about that wrong. Yeah, it'd still be taxable.
Yeah. You're a CPA, right? Can I see your license?
It's expired. No, just kidding.
Okay. If I take full payments, it's 3.5 years. No, 2. My father and both grandfather died at 62 and 63. I'm 58 and a half. So timing is a very real issue for me.
Okay.
Good boy. Wait, you think he's constantly thinking about that?
Well, he wants to take care of his family. I applaud him for that, but he knows.
58. So is it like he's counting down the days?
Well,
I mean, my dad died at 61. I'm like, oh my God. I wonder what I'm going to be like when I'm 58.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, oh man.
You're going to be
got 3 years
all
left.
Kinds of life insurance.
Got 3 years left. It sucks. So they all live pretty hard lives. Yeah. My old man lived a pretty hard life.
Yeah.
I have not. What do you think a definition of hard life is? Is that like working on the railroad, working in the coal mine?
It could be, or it could be a lot of drinking, smoking.
Oh, that's not hard.
Depends what you're drinking.
Yeah, that makes life fun.
True.
Not hard. All right. But he is not, but this still weighs heavily. I'm comfortable discussing death, but realize others are not. Include if you see fit. Oh, it's fitting, just like a glove.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about retirement, that has to be a component, right?
Relevant information. Ginger and I have comfortable taxable income, approximately $110,000. Live on approximately $70,000 per year. No debt. He's got $1.5 million roughly in retirement accounts. Drink of choice, whiskey and Coke. Love the show. I tell everyone about it. Keep up the good work. All right. Thanks, Skipper from Texas. So he's got $1.5 million. He's thinking, what should I do here with this payment? Should I start taking it now? Should I push it off? Do I take 2/3?
I personally would start taking some now. I don't know if I do it all, but I'd at least do a pretty good check to get the process started is based upon what we understand about your pension plan, which isn't very much. But if that's truly the way it goes, you got to get all your contributions out to get your employer match, then I'd start doing it now, especially with your family history. Now, hopefully, Skipper, you'll live to 90, and it's a moot point, but you're concerned about your family, and I think that's the right thing to do.
Start taking, yeah, I think so too. I would do that. Start taking payments now based on the full balance.
I would worry less about taxes, and plus your income is great, 110,000, but you're in a low enough tax bracket. I mean, the 24% bracket goes to, for a married couple, almost 400,000. So, and you're in Texas, right? So it's going to be 24% or lower, probably 22%.
Yeah, I agree.
Spitball your own retirement with a free calculator at easyretirement.com. That's EASI retirement.com. Take 2 minutes, create a login, enter your income, savings, and expenses, and find out if you're on track. Tweak your spending or savings and see in an instant how it changes your entire retirement future. Switch between optimistic, average, or pessimistic assumptions for inflation and returns. Test different budgeting scenarios and withdrawal strategies. EASI stands for Education, Assessment, Strategy, Implementation. You need all four to create a successful retirement plan, and the free retirement calculator at easyretirement.com can help. Then you take the next step. Schedule a one-on-one with a live human financial professional from right there in the calculator to review your results and create even more sophisticated strategies to meet your retirement needs. Start calculating your retirement wellness now for free at easyretirement.com. That's EASI retirement.com.
Mike Carroll from Falls Church, Virginia. Hi, Joe, Big Al, Andy. Please refer us to Mike and Carroll.
Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is this the theme this week, Andy?
Not intentionally.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I mean, the previous person that said that he had used somebody else's name, that was because he was using Jack and Diane previously. So this time he's Skipper and Ginger.
Got it.
Okay.
I've been listening to your podcast for about 3 years. Love the show. I drive a 2017 Toyota Tacoma. Wife drives 2016 Honda Civic. I'm mostly a beer drinker. I like almost anything from Germany or Czech Republic. Wife enjoys a dry cedar from time to time, or cider. When I say cedar,
yeah,
the hell's a dry cider? That's like
we had this conversation before. I explained to you that it's the difference between sweet and dry, like you would use in terms of white wine. They use it the same way with cider. So it's whether it's sweet or whether it's like tart.
So it's not a non-alcoholic cider.
No, and it also doesn't mean it's powdered.
You could interpret it that way.
Right.
Right. It's dry. There's nothing in it.
You ever heard of like a dry county?
Yes, I have. And that means no alcohol. Well, so I get the connection.
Yeah. Dry cider. All right. Two kids, son, 23, college grad, working in financially independent. Daughter's 21, will finish college this spring. Her tuition and expenses are covered. I'm 54, y'all. Wife is 52. We plan to retire in about 9 years when my wife is eligible for her federal government pension. All right. Let's see. Our gross income is about $350,000. Of this, we save about 40% each year. We max out our TSP and 401k plans and save the rest in taxable brokerage accounts invested in a diversified ETFs. Our annual strategy is to equal match qualified and non-qualified account contributions. Thus, our goal is to save $122,000 at minimum.
Okay. I think you're, well, I won't answer yet. Let's go on.
$122,000. All right.
That's impressive.
That's.
And Joe, just for your reference, they've got just under 4 million now.
Okay. Might as well save another $122,000. You only got 4 mil.
It's you got to get to five or six at least, yeah. Right?
Okay, everything above of the savings excess in the taxable brokerage account, we are in the 24% federal tax bracket. We currently spend about $120,000 a year. We want to spend $150,000 a year, okay? Wife's federal government pension will be $65,000. Social Security will be $40,000.
Each.
Okay. So the fixed income is going to cover your living expenses.
Yeah.
So I think you should save $250,000 a year.
Or you might start enjoying life a little bit more.
You know, it's possible. Live the Big Al life.
I do like my life.
Currently, our plan is to do Roth conversions in our 60s after we retire to diversify our tax buckets. In the interim, we will build up our cash reserves to pay the taxes. Our logic is that presumably we'll be in a lower tax bracket that we are in now. Of course, we realize that is subject to change. Does our logic make sense, or should we consider doing conversions now? For instance, up to the top of the 24% tax bracket after the tax brackets revert to the pre-TC&J Act, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Since we plan to spend more in retirement than we do now. So he spends $149,000 today, and he wants to spend a whopping $150,000
well,
in
no,
retirement.
No, he spends $120,000.
Oh,
so he's going up $30,000. You know how people, when they get used to being frugal, it's hard to change that?
Yeah. $122,000 savings a year.
That's impressive.
All right. I hope I included all the relevant information you need to spitball my questions above. Keep up the great year. Great work. P.S. I am a mid-senior operations and compliance professional in the securities industry. I would love an opportunity to interview for a position at your firm if and when a position becomes available, and if you would consider remote work or if you open a branch office location in the D.C. area.
Oh, well, there you go.
You know, we are actually looking for a compliance professional.
I did actually forward this email to our compliance department.
True.
Yeah.
Could be remote, I suppose.
I don't know if he can save. I don't know if we're going to pay him. He's saving more than what we're going to pay him.
Well, correct. If you look at his income, I don't think we can match that. I know she's making some too, though.
This is not
so I
a
guess,
bit senior. This so, would be probably so, mid low.
So here's the first comment,
junior,
that the numbers make sense. You didn't ask that, but you have plenty of resources to retire at the level you want to retire. You could actually spend probably a fair amount more.
He's got $2 million in a retirement account that he's never going to touch, and he's 60 years old.
Yep.
You need to convert to the 24% tax bracket.
100%. I would go all Roth right now in your current 401ks and convert to the, at the minimum, the top of the 24, right?
Yep.
But the thing is, so top of the 24 is about $390,000, but you also get a $25,000 standard deduction. So you can really convert to 420, 415, something like that, right? To that level of income. Make sure you factor in any dividends you might have from non-qual. Although I guess I'm not, yeah, $1.5 million in brokerage.
A ton of brokerage.
Yeah.
Because he's splitting it equally. I love that he's doing that. Now he's 52 years old. And or 52 or 54. I'm 54. Wife is 52.
Yeah. And he worked 9 more years.
And he's saving $122,000 a year. So he's going to save another $1.5 million.
Right.
Into his $4 million pot. And over the next 10 years, that $4 million is going to be $8 million plus another million. He's going to have around $10 million left.
I would agree with that.
Right.
Yep.
Hypothetically.
Yeah. Based upon rates of return and all that.
Right. And so that retirement account is going to continue to build and grow and grow. Then he's going to have a nice pension of $65,000 plus another $80,000 in Social Security. He only spends $150,000. Only, I say, given this, it's pretty low.
Right.
I would move my contributions to 100% Roth and then start converting to the top of the 24.
Yeah, and the 24 bracket, unless they continue it, only goes through 2025. So you got 2 years. And then we'll see what happens after that. If you look at your almost $4 million, Mike, only 150 is in Roth. So you start beefing that up. 24% is a good bracket. So go for it.
Yeah. No, we're not looking to open a branch in D.C. I would imagine we can. Oh, we got branches now in, what, Sacramento? We have a branch in Denver, Chicago, San Diego, Los Angeles, Orange County.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Did you get Seattle?
Seattle.
And two.
Are we doing something in Oregon or something?
Portland? Portland, Oregon?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't keep them all straight either.
We got Duncan from Texas. He writes in. He goes, hey, I'm 41 years old. I'm a married man of a 9-year-old son. I love learning about financial planning. Have enjoyed listening to your show over the past year or so. Your shows are very informative and offer valuable details regarding the types of financial decision I find myself facing. I enjoy a nice old fashioned, but it's not dry January.
Which is when he emailed us.
Oh, okay. We're catching up.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, we are. Finally.
You're in this year.
All right. So he's blessed to have a great job bringing in $500,000 a year, and my wife is an event planner making $25,000 a year gross. I like how he doesn't say his 500,000 is gross.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, my wife, 25,000 gross.
Which also means she's got expenses, so it didn't quite work out in the pocket.
Got it. Our family currently spends $175,000 a year and put the rest into savings. We have $1.4 million saved in retirement accounts and a $400,000 frozen pension, $1.6 million in after-tax savings. Our goal is for me to find an early retirement. He's eyeing 51.
Wow.
Yeah, so am I, Duncan.
Good for you, Duncan.
As my son is entering college, well, when
Not
I turn
yours.
51, my son will be entering kindergarten.
Kindergarten. Sorry. You might have to wait another 12, 13, 14 years.
Oh, my life. I just love it. I expect that we will be earning $25,000 to $50,000 a year from my wife's event planning work. It would plan to make up the difference with the earnings from our after-tax savings until we hit 59 and a half. During my bridge period, I would also prioritize minimizing my AGI and try to do some rollover any pre-tax dollars into a Roth IRA, which leads to my question.
Yeah.
All right, you got all those facts?
Got it.
Duncan wants to retire 51-ish, saved a ton of money, makes a lot of money, doesn't spend.
Yeah, it doesn't spend very much relative to his earnings.
Right.
Wants to work 10 more years.
Right.
Got
He's 41
yep,
and
40,
he
41.
must return 10 years. He's
Yep.
saving how much?
Well, let's see. He's got about 3.4 million now.
He makes 500. He spends 170, puts everything into savings. So
Yeah.
he probably spends, he saves probably 100 grand a year.
At least. Yeah.
All right. My question is, where to direct my 401k savings over the next 10 years or the $1.4 million in retirement savings? About half is currently in Roth accounts, either IRA or 401k. My 401k offers options for pre-tax Roth or after-tax contributions. I can roll over the after-tax contributions into the Mega Roth conversion. I've always prioritized Roth savings whenever I can, but now that I'm earning more, I'm questioning if I should be making all future 401k contributions pre-tax, especially since I plan to keep making Roth IRA contributions and Mega Roth conversions in my 401k plan. Currently, my two-thirds of my retirement is Roth accounts with the remainder in pre-tax accounts. I should be able to save $30,000 in Roth contributions with another $45,000 going to my pre-tax bucket. My employer matches 7% per year. So he wants to know, what should he do?
Yeah,
He's going to save a ton of money. Should they go Roth, pre-tax, after-tax, do the mega conversions?
so he it sounds like he's already doing a Roth contribution. He's planning on maxing out the retirement.
He's doing a backdoor
He
Roth
already
contribution.
yeah, right. And he's doing the Mega Roth, which right now you can put up to 69 grand when you're under 50 in a 401k. That includes your contributions, the company contributions, and then after tax money that you can then convert to a Roth IRA at no charge. So I think the real question is for his contributions, should it be Roth or after tax? He's already doing after tax.
Yes. So what should he do? I know what you're going to say. He makes $500,000. You want him to get the tax deduction.
I would. And I know what you're going to say. All Roth.
All wrong.
Yeah.
He's 40 years old.
Yeah. The reason I say is go ahead and take the tax deduction is the tax bracket. You've already got 50-50. You're going to be adding more Roth than regular. By the time you retire 51, you've got like almost 25 years to convert. So that's what I think.
Yeah, no, I get that logic, but I don't know what's going to happen with Roth IRAs. I don't know what's going to happen with tax brackets.
Sure.
This guy's going to retire. He's already saved, but again, we're looking at this in a bubble.
True.
And so he's 40 years old and he's already saved how much?
Yeah,
Millions.
he's got 3.4.
$3.4 million at 40 years old.
Yeah, it's better than you and me by quite a factor.
Come on. And then he's going to retire at 50. He's saving $100,000 a year. Again, 10 years, 3 million, 6 million. He's going to have $10 million at 50.
Right.
Do you think he's going to just go off into the sunset? His
No.
kids are going to go to college and he's just going to chill?
I don't think so.
There's no way. He's going to continue to grind to do something else. He's going to start a business. He's going to make more money. He's a rare breed.
Yes.
He's a hustler. I would go all Roth.
Yeah.
Because I bet you in 10 years from now, he's going to be making more money. He's going to have a lot more money coming out of his investments. And he's going to take the uncertainty of taxes off the table.
Yeah. And I get your logic, too. I still would go. I'd get the deduction because of the bracket.
He lives in Texas. Just don't state tax.
True.
You're not going to.
I mean, it's true either way if he stays there. Anyway, difference of opinion. Either one is fine. You're going to be in great shape.
We got Jay-Z from Minnesota, Big Al.
Jay-Z, okay.
Hey, Joe, Big Al, personal finance fanatic here, but recently started listening to you guys.
He's a real fanatic.
Oh, definitely the funniest finance podcast out there. Well, thank you very much, Jay-Z. And among all the podcasts I listen to weekly, YMYW is so far my favorite.
Okay.
It
may not last, but so far, yeah, so good.
Because you're going to listen to three episodes and it's going to be the same shit.
Same thing over and over.
It's like, oh my God. It's just like bleep. Rinse and repeat.
Just bleep that.
I'm going to.
Oops. I have a quick question about which accounts. This is like, Andy, you did this again to me.
I didn't. I honestly didn't. These are just in order that they were sent to us. And I swear to you, they're just, yeah. The one that you're going to read later that talks about how the content is so similar, it's because this is what you guys are best at.
Okay. I have a quick question about which account to save. I'm 31 years old, single, $90,000 of annual income, live super frugally, monthly expenses usually around below $3,000.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
I just can't find ways to spend money. I do love traveling, though, and I visit 20 plus countries, but also on a very low budget.
So he's saying at youth hostels and
getting
discount fares.
Yep.
Good for you, Jay-Z.
Yep. Currently, with some family help, I have $28,000 in a pre-tax 401A, $51,000 in a Roth 403B, $61,000 in a Roth IRA. He's got an HSA and some money market accounts for emergency, and $70,000 in a brokerage account. Man, 50% of this is in money market now.
Right. For keeping track, it's about $250K.
And he's 30 years old.
Yep. It's
what's a 401A?
401A is very similar to any type of retirement plan, but he must work for a hospital, nonprofit, maybe a school, maybe something like that, where there's mandatory contributions usually. Maybe the employer is putting money in, or you have to dedicate a certain, they just have certain restrictions on the plan.
Thank you.
Yep. Last year, I maxed out my Roth, 403B. There you have it.
Yep.
So it's probably a hospital. Roth IRA, HSA, along with my 5.5% contribution to my employer 401A with 10% matching, which is 42% savings rate.
That's wow.
Good.
If I add in the employer match, it's 52%.
52, okay.
A friend of mine thinks I'm saving too much in retirement accounts and says I should divert money into a brokerage. Their argument is that a 30% savings rate for retirement accounts is more than enough, and apparently my frugal lifestyle won't possibly change. So I don't need that much in retirement accounts that I won't use until 30 years. Who's telling him this?
His friend.
Got it.
Yeah, the friend of his.
30%. Who saves 30% in a retirement account? So,
he does.
I wonder what Jay-Z's buddy saves. He's like, oh man, you're saving 42%. Yeah. Well, no.
You're showing me up. I'm saving 4%.
Well, no, this guy must be saving like 41%.
Yeah, I mean, we tell people to try to work up to 20. That'd be a great goal.
Yeah, he's got that beat.
Yep.
Their suggestion is that I can still pretend to have a savings rate of 40 or 50%, but for anything above 30, I should put it in index funds in my brokerage account for better liquidity, which means I will max out my Roth IRAs, HSAs, and maybe only $12,000 in the 403B plan, and put the remaining 11.5 into index funds in my brokerage account. What do you think? I understand their point, but I also feel like missing the free Roth opportunities is stupid. In the meantime, I also feel like having the liquidity in the brokerage is good because I indeed have an
imminent, as in pending, very soon,
purchase.
Pending purchase.
Yes, got a pending purchase. In about 3 to 5 years for our house down payment. Appreciate your spitball as always. I drive a 2020 Mazda 3 Zoom Zoom and love margaritas, but no salt. Remember, no salt.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Just in case you're pouring next time Jay-Z is in town.
Yeah, all right.
You know, the cool thing is, looks like everything he's doing, retirement, is going into Roth.
Right. I would keep doing what you're doing, Jay-Z. He's already got brokerage accounts. He's got cash. He's got about 100,000 outside of retirement accounts right now.
He does. Yep.
Your Roth IRAs that you're putting money into, you always have access, let's say, in an emergency of the contributions if you need to take that.
Is that also true in a 401A and 403B? No. So that's the tricky part.
He's not putting a Roth IRA or just a 401A?
Well, he's got a Roth IRA. Yep.
So do Roth IRA.
Yep.
403B. I think it's mandatory with the 5.5% 401A because it gets a 10% match.
Agreed.
I would keep doing what you're doing.
Here's my only exception. I agree with you, Joe, but depending upon what kind of house you want to buy, make sure you've got enough for a down payment, whatever you might want. Have extra cushion, emergency fund, maybe have a little extra money for travel. But once you factor that in, just keep doing what you're doing.
Because here's the difference. Roth IRAs grow 100% tax-free. You'll never, ever pay a dollar in taxes ever on the growth of those unless you have a disqualified distribution.
And here's another thing to think about, which the Roth, let's say you retire before age 55, which at your pace, I'm guessing might be the case, right? And so if you've got the Roth 403B, 401A, whatever, you can roll that to a Roth IRA, correct? So, and if you do that, then you could take distributions from that. And it's always the contributions come out first, which are tax-free. So it doesn't matter that you're not 59 and a half.
Yeah, he could do a 72T tax election. He could do all sorts of things because he doesn't spend any money.
Right.
Tax diversification works like this, Jay-Z, is that you want money in each of the different pools, pre-tax, Roth, in a brokerage account, because then you can control your taxes long-term in retirement. But I think Jay-Z is like, you know what? I'm putting everything in Roth because I'm going to pay zero tax when I start taking money out. And he's going to have millions.
Right. And his Social Security will be 100% tax-free because he'll have no other income.
He saves 50% of his income.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If I had 50% of my income saved today, I would go 100% Roth. And then in whatever 30 years or 20 years when I retire.
Unless you want to buy a McMansion in Rancho Santa Fe.
McMansion. I don't even know what that is.
Learn how tax diversification and the infamous Roth can help you control your taxes in retirement. Go to the podcast show notes now and download the complete Roth Papers package to understand how Roth accounts work so you can take full advantage of their tax-saving benefits. This bundle of Roth guides is packed with valuable information about Roth contributions and conversions, the backdoor Roth strategy for when you make too much money to contribute directly to a Roth, and the rules for taking money out of your Roth IRA. Plus, you'll learn the differences and the pros and cons of saving in a traditional IRA versus a Roth IRA versus a Roth 401k and much more. Click the link in the description of today's episode in your favorite podcast app, go to the show notes, and download the complete Roth Papers package. Don't forget to share the show and the resources with your friends.
We got Ben from San Francisco writes in. He goes, hello there. Thanks for the fantastic show. For information, your information is extremely valuable. Well, thank you, Ben. I drive a 2017 Honda Civic. I don't drink, but I'm addicted to steak and salmon from the Troggy Grill.
I think it's Traeger.
Traeger. I have a question about rule of 55 for 401k plans. My friend is forced to leave her job this year. Her employer has given her an exit package and laying her off. She's currently 54. She doesn't turn 55 until 2025. Her husband is going to keep working. He has a very large retirement balance. They have enough cash reserves to replace her lost income until 2025. She doesn't want to go back to work, and she wants to start to take distributions out of her 401k plan starting in 2025 to replace her lost income. She will, of course, be subject to the 10% penalty if she starts taking the distributions out of the 401k in 2025. Her strategy would be to try to get access to her 401k dollars without paying a penalty. My question is this. Let's say she takes a part-time job with a new employer in 2025 that offers a 401k. Let's say that she rolls her current 401k balance to her new employer's plan in 2025. If she keeps those dollars in the new 401k for a few months and then retires from that new employer, can she then start to take the dollars out of the new employer plan without a penalty since she's 55? Once you answer that question, I have a follow-up question. Okay, let's answer that question.
Yeah, we'll start there.
All right, Ben. So he's looking after his girl. She's getting laid off. She's 54.
Right.
A little layoff. Here's a little severance package. Thanks for your time.
Sure.
But the rule of 55 is this, which most people I don't think understand.
I think very few people understand.
If you separate from service from your employer at age 55, there is no 10% penalty.
Yeah. In other words, you're 55, you separate from service from your current employer only, not your other 401ks, current employer only, then you can take monies out of that. And of course, you'll pay taxes on it because you got a tax deduction, but you won't pay the 10% penalty.
If you roll it into an IRA, IRAs are 59 and a half, no matter what. 401ks are 55. So it's like, okay, well, man, she's going to turn 55 soon. He's like, well, how does she get money? She wants to replace her income.
Right.
She's going to go get a job.
Yeah, part-time job with a 401k.
That's the only.
Or how about set up your own little business set up a solo 401k?
I don't think that works.
We've done it.
at rule 55 and a solo 401k?
Yeah.
Isn't there like, well, anyway. Her only requirement is that it needs to have a 401k plan.
Right.
Because she's going to roll her 401k into that 401k. Then she's going to turn 55. Then she's going to separate from service.
Yeah, she'll retire from that new part-time job.
That she's worked for 4 months,
right.
Rolled her 401k in, and she's going to say, see you later.
Right.
Come out.
Right.
And then now that gives her the ability to take money out of the 401k plan and avoid the 10% penalty.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
I do. Do you?
Do you think that's worth the hassle? I mean, what is she going to do? Go maybe work at a liquor store that has a 401k plan for like 3 days?
It depends what the dollars are and how much, which we don't know.
So you got to go. You got to interview. You got to, right? And then you get the job. And then you're, I don't know. I don't know if I would do all of that. Just, could you imagine just using your employer for their 401k?
I'm sure people do it. Anyway, let's answer the question. Yes, it works. Should you? I guess that's the question you're asking. You're saying you wouldn't.
Well, her husband has a big ass retirement account, he said.
Right.
Just take money from that account.
Yeah. I mean, there's different ways.
You could take a 72D tax election.
Good. You'd have to roll that 401k to an IRA and take the 72T. You could do that. You could do this. You could get another job and then retire at 55 or at 55 or later, right? Doesn't have to be 55. And then you can pull money out without penalty. So you have basically 4.5 years between 55 and 59 and a half where you pull money out without the 10% penalty if you do this.
Sure. I mean, I have a follow-up question. She currently has an IRA account with pre-tax dollars. Can she also roll that IRA into the account into the new employer next year and then get access to those dollars penalty-free as well? 72T distribution is not a good fit for her as it wouldn't generate enough cash flow to meet her needs.
Got it.
But what Ben's running a 72T tax election calculation?
Well, it sounds like Ben's an advisor.
It sounds like yes. And his friend is his
client.
This is
his client. Yes. Right, right.
And she's asking the question. He's like, yeah, let me do a little research.
Yeah,
let me hit up the boys in San Diego.
So the answer to that question is yes, you can roll the IRA into the new 401k, which is actually a great strategy because if there's any post-tax dollars in there, that can be converted to a Roth IRA without any tax.
Very good, Ben. Hopefully that helps. If you have more questions for your clients, you know where to go. Now we got another one star. Is it one star?
I thought it was 3-star.
It's 3-star, but he loves it when they're 1-star. So he's downgrading it for us.
Yes. It's not five, it's one.
Right. It,
You know, if you're not first, you're last.
Usually it's one or the other, right? So this is a three. We don't get too many threes.
Yeah. Who would do a
it's
review
like,
with a three?
It's like you're average. You know, it's all right. I'm not loving it, but it's all right.
Yeah. Entertaining show with some useful input into retirement strategy. All right.
That sounds like a five.
Sounds at least a five. Understandably, the spitballs are limited in detail and scope that they can provide, so suggestions can come across as repetitive after a few episodes. Yeah, trust me. That's why I've never listened to the show. You've listened to one, you listen to them all.
We do answer the questions that are presented, and they do tend to be somewhat similar.
The feedback provided also was overly conservative at times.
Oh, I'm okay with that comment. I would rather be talking conservative than not. When it comes to finances, because I don't want to like make you think you're fine when you're not quite so good.
Failing to consider all guaranteed income or diminished spending as you age when setting appropriate target withdrawal rates.
Well, guaranteed income.
So what, is that an annuity of some sort? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think we do pensions, we do Social Security. If there aren't, most people that write in don't have annuities, so that doesn't come up very often. But as far as spending less, yeah, that can be. But the reason we don't think about that.
I totally agree with this guy or gal.
Yeah. Well, I would say this. I would say there are many cases where spending goes up as you age, because you've got to go to assisted living or a nursing home or something like that. So again, being conservative, we just try to factor that in.
One of two things happens here, because this person, Wemby. I agree, because here's what happens. I fumble around and try to read these questions. And it takes me a while to get through the questions.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Andy goes, well, you've got 1 minute. And so then we are, all right, let's quickly do this. Okay, yeah, 4% looks good. Okay.
All right.
Next question. So it's terrible. Because we got to get into a lot more detail. And he's right. Because some people, it's like, hey, a 7%, 8% burn rate might be just fine. Because you're going to spend less. Or you don't. Right. But then there's sequence of return risk. We don't really know what's your fixed income. We don't know what the markets are going to do. We don't know life expectancy.
True.
You know, some people are like, well, why do you always say 70 for Social Security? I want to take it right now because I want to party. And I live in the villages in Florida. It's like, all right, well, take it at 62. We don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's basically when people ask, am I okay? We're kind of, this is,
it is very conservative, and it's way back of the envelope.
It's just based upon a quick back of the envelope. This is not gospel. This is just, yeah, you look like you're probably pretty good, or you look like you're fantastic, or I don't know, it's a little close, or no, I don't think you're ready.
All right.
And, I mean,
we're going to switch this thing up. We're going to spend a little bit more time. We'll talk a little bit more details. We'll get into some more complex strategies.
I like that.
We'll just share.
We need different questions. Like, we need someone to say, you know, I got $1 million of company stock in my 401k and the cost basis.
What do you think of private credit? Okay. Now I can go on a rant on that. Ooh.
Yeah. How about alternative investments?
Yeah, I got a private equity fund.
Part of a portfolio?
Should we put that in? Have you ever heard of liquid alternatives?
So you'd say our show is a 3 out of 5 stars right now, too, right?
I would say it's probably a high 1.5.
Oh, wow.
If I were to rate our show, I'd give it a good 1.
That's why you can't listen to it.
Well,
I would disagree with you. I would say most of our listeners give us 5 stars, and most are very complimentary.
All right. Yeah, no, I agree. You're Mr. Positive.
My glass is always half full. My glass is like 90% full all the time.
Glass is always full, even if it's
even there's 10% in, it's full.
All right. Thank you all for everything. We got to get the hell out of here. The show's called Your Money, Your Wealth, and we'll see you next time.
Ginger versus Marianne, Patrick Swayze, Dry January, Frugally, The Cost of Living in Minnesota, and Visiting the Traeger Grill in the Derails, so stick around. This show wouldn't be a show without you. And when you tell your friends about YMYW or leave your honest reviews and ratings for Your Money, Your Wealth in Apple Podcasts and all the other apps that accept them, you help us grow the show, and we appreciate you. So thank you. Your Money, Your Wealth is presented by Pure Financial Advisors. A retirement spitball from Joe and Big Al is a good starting point, but a deep dive into your finances will really help you optimize your money, your wealth, and your retirement. Schedule a free assessment with the experienced financial professionals on Joe and Big Al's team at Pure. You can meet in person at any of Pure's offices around the country or online via Zoom from anywhere in the world. Get a retirement plan that's fully customized for your risk tolerance, your financial needs, and your goals. To get started, click the free financial assessment banner in the podcast show notes at yourmoneyyourwealth.com or call 888-994-6257. Pure Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor. This show does not intend to provide personalized investment advice through this broadcast and does not represent that the securities or services discussed are suitable for any investor. Investors are advised not to rely on any information contained in the broadcast in the process of making a full and informed investment decision.
Are you a Ginger or Marianne kind of guy?
I was Marianne. How about you?
Yeah, I think I was a Marianne kind of guy.
Yeah.
So
I think most people I ask were Marianne guys.
Yeah. Thurston Howell III.
Yeah.
Where's Gilligan?
Well, this is Skipper and Ginger.
Got it. I don't think Ginger would have went for the Skipper.
Well, and I don't think she would have gone for Gilligan either.
Yeah, I think the Professor.
Yeah, that would have, he had the best
right,
chance.
But didn't Ginger and like the Professor?
They sort of were chummy.
Yeah. Like maybe they got some
so.
Coconut milk together at some point.
Whatever that means, we'll just imagine.
Relevant information. Do you know Patrick Swayze used to smoke 60 cigarettes a day?
60?
60.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive, 60 cigarettes.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze, he was in great shape.
I know. Fantastic shape.
How'd he die? I don't know.
Well, it was cancer, I think, right?
Was it lung cancer?
I believe it was.
Yep. Yeah. That would probably be a pretty good contributor.
60 smokes a day. How many packs is that? How many packs are in a... How many smokes?
I don't smoke. I don't know.
He died of pancreatic cancer, so...
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure smoking didn't help it.
Oh.
Probably.
Well, whatever. Sorry. R.I.P. Relevant information, and you know how you do that. You got to watch or listen to the rewatchables. I'm going on way too many tangents.
Long derails.
I try to do dry January.
How'd that work out? It
did not work out very well.
Did you break that one on New Year's Eve?
Well, that's December, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, true. Did you break that one on New Year's Day?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
But no, dry January doesn't really start until like after...
After you get back to work?
Yeah, back to work. Right? So you might have that couple of days, and so let's say you go back to work on the 4th.
Yeah.
That's when it starts.
Got it. Okay. What you tell yourself.
That's what I'm going to, next year.
So my sweet Annie sometimes gives up wine for Lent.
Oh, okay.
And I'm very proud of her, although she's never actually made the entire period, but she's done it for a couple of weeks at least.
Wow. She just goes to straight vodka then?
Yes, it's beer.
Yeah.
Margaritas.
Got it. All right. Frugally. Is that how you say that?
Frugally, yes.
Yeah, frugally.
You got it.
It just kind of sounded.
It did sound weird the way you said it.
Frugally.
Still sounds weird.
Frugally? Or frugally?
That sounds like some sort of stuffed animal. A frugally.
Frugally.
Now I'm screwed up with that word. I don't even know how you're supposed to pronounce it.
He's very frugal.
Yes.
That's easier to say.
In Minnesota, can you actually like rent a place or own a place for less than $3,000? That's crazy.
Oh,
guys, I'm moving to Minnesota. No.
Well,
you got to move to like, I don't know, Iron Range or something. Way up north.
Way up.
Iron ore.
Or Iron Range. Is that a thing?
Huh?
Okay. Yeah. All right. There's
a little town called Orno. Really good at hockey. Cold as hell.
Okay. Got it. Cheap rent, probably.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just guessing.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Just
know?
Yeah. Never been to the Traeger Grill, Big Al?
Have not. I assume that's in San Francisco. Because that's where
I assume that it's actually a type of grill that he uses it to cook on. Yes, it's an original wood pellet grill.
Okay, then no. I don't even know what that is.
I'm going to get one.